on stage for the first time to tell about my flamethrowers, or flame devices, as I call them, flame effects. And my talk is called How to Build Your Own Flamethrower and Not Blow Up Yourself in the Process. So I made up a small agenda for today's talk. Of course, since we are working with gas, there's a mandatory safety talk. Then an overview, how does it work? A lot of people questioned it after the last couple of days, so I will show you exactly how it works. What do you need to build your own flamethrower, the parts, the best practices, improvements, and maybe future plans I have. I show some videos I shot of the flames in effect, and I can point out some interesting details there. And in the end, I would like to take the questions you might have. So first, for all people in hacker spaces and working with fire, you all know rule zero, don't be on fire. It's very important. So please keep in mind rule zero, don't be on fire. Then there is this obligatory fire triangle. To make a fire, you need three things. You need oxygen, that can be either in the air or in the fuel. You need fuel and you need heat. And heat can be a spark, a flame, sunlight, a chemical reaction. If you take one of these three away, the flame will die. So in our case, keep in mind, you're working with gas. If something goes wrong, turn off the gas. Then you take away this part of the safety triangle and then the flame will die. You can take the oxygen out of the air. You can take the heat, you can try to blow it out, but I wouldn't recommend that. So take the fuel away and the fire will die. That's a very important safety aspect, the fuel of the fire triangle. Then some properties of propane. Propane formula is C3H8. Butane is C4H10. It's colorless, odorless, and people say, hey, but if I open the gas bottle, I smell it. And that's because there's mercaptan added, it's ethanthiol, and that's you are very sensitive to smell that particular smell. You only need between a tenth and one parts per billion, and then you can even smell it already. So it's very handy to detect gas in an early stage. When you burn 1 kilo of propane, that's about 2 liters, it's 13.9 kilowatt hours you get from it, so there's a lot of energy in propane. The boiling point is minus 42 degrees, so that means if you open up a bottle and you draw gas from it, it will immediately start to evaporate and fill up the empty space above the gas in the bottle. Evaporation costs energy, so after a while you will see the bottles freeze up, and I will tell you what I do to counter that effect. If you have a perfect combustion of propane, then you get CO2 and water. That sounds up to, the CO2 part is bad, of course, but for the rest, you think it's good, but we don't live in a perfect world, and you already saw the orange flames from the flamethrowers, so we don't have a perfect world. So what happens if you have an incomplete combustion, you will also get carbon. So soot and carbon monoxide. But the carbon you will find on the end of the flame tube, it is all black. If you touch it, your hands are black. And the orange flame indicates that you don't have a full combustion. For us, it's an advantage, because if you have a full combustion, then you would have a blue flame. And a blue flame is less visible than an orange cloud of fire. I put these in red because these are the most important things about propane. The relative density of propane is 1.56. That means it's heavier than air. That's the reason why in most countries you are not allowed to store gas bottles in your basement, because it's heavier than air. It fills up the room. If somebody with a cigarette would go down, the whole house could explode, or a boat, or where you store it. That's also the reason why you don't want to be on a festival and just completely wrap those bottles or build them into a cabin or whatever. Keep it open. If you want to shield it from people, use like these mesh type structures that the wind can blow through. So if there is a leak, the gas will be away. and it cannot accumulate to make a big explosion. So always keep in mind, it's heavier than air. It will float around the bottles and not go up in the air. Then we have two important abbreviations. It's the LEL and the UAL. That's the lower explosive limit and the upper explosive limit. Pure propane, you can light it. If you have 470 degrees or higher, propane will burn, but it won't explode. Explosion, you need 2.1% or 9.5%. If you are between that, you have an explosive mixture. 1 liter of propane expands to about 3 cubic meters of gas. So to have an explosive mixture, then you need 30 cubic meters, totally air and gas. So imagine if that blows up, you have like a huge fireball, and that's only 1 liter of propane. So that's the upper and lower explosive limit. The gas tension in a bottle at room temperature is 8.3 bars. This is the, if you do flame effects like we do, it's the most important thing because you have 8.3 bars, which you can turn down with a high pressure regulator. But when you draw gas, the evaporation costs energy, the bottle gets cold, it freezes up, the temperature drops, and also the pressure in your bottle will drop, to the point that hardly anything comes out. You can see that at night when we start, we have big flames, and over time, you will see them getting lower. That's not only the gas running out, it's also the bottle freezing up. So we have to fight the freezing of the bottle, and I come back to that later. So then, if you make an effect yourself, safety is important. In the Netherlands, the fire brigade comes and they check, so they ask you to flame it, to fire it. They measure the distance, and they said a safe distance would be at least 5 meters, preferably more. So that's the reason I always want to mount them up in towers, 6 meters up, 9 meters up. That makes them visible over the whole terrain and immediately fills in that requirement by the fire brigade to have them at least 5 meters away. So people can stand next to your tower and still be in the safe area. But more is better. Always try to mount on something metal. They are on the container. The container won't combust or bust in flames. It's a metal. You can do truss as well. You can make clamps. So make them solid and make sure they can tip over or fall over. In my future projects, I will make a sensor. If it does tip, it doesn't fire. So now we had the safety stuff, so now it's time to go, what if something does go wrong? Of course, you can build something yourself in your backyard or maybe at your hackerspace. You try it and something is not working as you planned. The pilot flame is way higher than you expected. It can go sideways. You're like, okay, that's not good. Maybe your valve will turn or whatever. So always stay calm. It's propane, it's burning. If you start to panic, nasty stuff can happen. So just remain calm. Shut down the gas. I mean, you take away the fuel in the fire triangle. So you take away the fire, and it will slowly go out. If you can, and you have a filled storage buffer, you can fire it. If you see it's safe to go, just let all the gas go. And then immediately, of course, most of the gas is gone, and then it will even go out faster. But only do that if it's possible. Else, just let it burn slowly. If you mount it on something metal or stay away from it, it can slowly die, the flame. And remember rule zero, don't go there and try to do stuff when it's burning. Don't put yourself in danger. Stay at a safe distance. And then on the camp, if you see me running, try to keep up. So that was the safety stuff that is very important, and I hope you all use that and use this knowledge to build your own effects. So now, of course, people want to know, how does it work? Well, this is the flamethrower of the flame effect that is on the left-hand side. I keep using the words flamethrower and flame effect. I try to avoid the word flamethrower because, A, when you contact a hacker camp or a hacker festival, and you say, hey, I'm bringing a flamethrower. People think you bring a portable device that sprays liquid flames in a tenty environment with lots of tents and stuff, which is flammable. It's not a good idea, so it will scare them away. But more importantly, I found out in practice that if you travel across Europe and Border Patrol asks what you are bringing and you say, oh, I bring lasers and flamethrowers, you can immediately empty your whole car. And if you just say, I bring stage effects and flames, flame effects, or you say just stage effects and lasers, they're like, oh, this is a laser guy or something. And then you can go on and just continue your trip. And else it takes you an hour to unpack and pack and explain every little detail to the Border Patrol. So try to avoid the word flamethrower. I rather use flame effect. So then, how does it work? We have the high pressure gas. In the bottle, it's 8 bars. So we bring it down, the 8 bars, we bring it down to something more, yeah, handleable, like in between 1.5, 3 bars, 4 bars. The regulators you can use for that is the ones, for instance, you can use for the wheat burners. You have those wheat burners to burn the wheat in your garden. They have a high, high volume or high capacity regulator. The barbecue regulator, we'll come to that later, that's not enough. That's only 30 millibars and we want 3,000 millibars. So we need more. So don't use a barbecue regulator because it will take ages and then the pressure in the bottle will be low. So you need a high pressure regulator. As you can see, we go through the barbecue regulator, which is there to feed the pilot flame. So it will go up in low pressure, indicated in blue, it will go up. It's a copper tube and there's holes in it. And around it is steel wool. So that it's stuff you put in your pans to clean your pans, to scrub them. That's there to avoid the flame being blown out by the wind. And also blown out by the gas. As you learned, pure propane isn't explosive. You can light it, but it is not explosive. So if it comes out of the bottle, it's pure and the pressure is 3 bars. So it can blow out the pilot flame. So what you want is have steel wool in the top that will trap a bit of the gas and burn slowly. So if you blow a lot of propane through it, there's always some residual gas in there. So your flame will come up. You can see it very well on the middle one we have at Bornhek. If you fire it, you see it goes down and it goes back up again. So that's the gas that's inside the steel wool that keeps the flame burning. So this is your pilot flame. It's roughly about 50 centimeters. There's people that make this regulable. They put a small regulator or a tap in between, and you can even turn it down. So if you don't want a big flame, because if you leave it running, it looks really nice, but it also can already freeze up the bottle. And you need that pressure for when you shoot it, so you can turn it down a little. So if you can find a one that is being able to be adjusted, that's even better. So then the high pressure gas also goes straight on to the T split, and it will fill the storage buffer, which is, in my case, an old fire extinguisher. The only remark I got from the Dutch Fire Brigade is you can paint it black because it might confuse people. They think it's a fire extinguishing device, but it's the opposite. So if you make it black, it won't confuse people. I use the large ones. It's the 6 kilogram CO2 bottle. But as a test, I did a small one here in the middle on Bornhek. And that one actually works quite good. And the advantage is it fills faster. So you can do, you can play songs with it. So it's really cool. And then you need a valve that holds in the gas until the moment is there to fire it. I use the 230 volt because I think they are a little faster than the 12 and 24 volts, but basically it's a coil that opens the valve. And it's for me, it's easier as I use a switchback, which is a DMX controlled box with 4 outlets. I just put the plugs in and then I can send a DMX signal to open the valve. So that's easy for me. But you can, of course, use Arduinos with relay boards and use 12 and 24 volts. If you want to go really fast, that's my future projects, then you can use an air-assisted valve. The air-assisted valve requires a compressor, which will power the valve. And at the moment you switch it open, it not only uses the magnetic power to open up the valve, but it also uses the compressed air, so it will really go very fast, it will open, and that's a requirement you need for larger diameter valves. And then when you open the valve, the high pressure gas shoots out through a flame. As we learned, 470 degrees is enough to light it. The propane is still pure when it comes out of the tube. So in the movies I'll show you later on, you will see sometimes that it doesn't burn for the first 50 centimeters because it's pure propane. Air is getting mixed in and then it shoots up in a flame. And you will see also that the flame sometimes climbs. So the first the propane shoots up and evaporates, makes a combustible mixture, and then the flame follows. So it climbs up the flame. So now about the parts I use. It's all very easy parts. It's you can find them anywhere. First you need a barrel to hold in the gas, so it needs to be gas tight. I use the fire extinguisher because these, when they are pressurized, there are between 40 and 60 bars of CO2 in there, but it means their rating is like 200 bars, and we are only using 2-3 bars, so you know you're on the safe side. You have something, it's cheap, people often throw them away, or you can get them from companies when they are not being used anymore or not within the specified date. And for us, it's good. I also have diving cylinders, all diving cylinders of the German fire department, which they use for compressed air. Also ones for rescue from the fire brigade to have oxygen when they go into fires with the oxygen mask. These also run out of a certain certification date. So these bottles are all very well to use, and they all have a nice thread in the top. This one is 3/4 inch. So you can use standard piping. Like this. So these are just very cheap pipes, which you can just buy with the tool station or your do-it-yourself shop. It's 3/4 inch, and they turn. You can screw them into this bottle. It's all parts like this tube is, I think, €2 or something, and a T-split is like €3. So you can use very cheap parts. I think the whole thing can be built for under €100, easy. You need a magnetic valve. Most ones are capable of doing 1 megapascal, which is 10 bars. Sometimes you can even go up to 16 bars. Well, we're using 2-3 bars, maybe sometimes 4 if you really want a big flame. If you go higher, you will probably see, even with the steel wool, you will blow out the pilot flame. So you can buy a 6-bar regulator, turn it all the way up. It might work, or you might make the pilot flame bigger or more turns, but you will see at above 4 or 5 bars, you will blow it out anyway because there's so much propane coming through and it's still not combustible at the moment, so it will just douse the flame. So basically you make some sort of fire extinguisher from the fire extinguisher with gas. So yeah, you have to have a valve that can switch the 10 bars. And the seals are very important. You have Phyton seals, NBR, which is something called nitrile butane rubber. Different seals are there for different gases or liquids. So some valves are very good in switching water. Others are better for switching gas. So do some research to which seals you use. I have a mix of Phyton and NBR. And for gas, they work. But if you want to do other stuff, you have to check the valves. And some valves are not suitable for gas. So don't use those. I already talked about the high pressure regulator, the wheat burner, or just a regulator. Here in Denmark, I saw they have the clip-on stuff. A lot of them has the barbecue regulator built in. You don't want that one. And a lot of them are 0-2 bars. You can still fire. Yesterday we fired with 2 bars. It looked good. But if you really want to refill faster, you need more pressure. So the pressure makes more pressure in the barrel, makes sometimes the flame go higher, but also makes the bottle recharges faster, so you can fire faster. Now you see it takes 5 seconds to charge, also because the line is 25 meters, because I need this for another project. So if you keep the line short, you will be able to recharge your bottle faster. So with a 5 meter and a 2 bar, you will probably be able to fill it in 2 seconds. The barbecue regulator, I already talked about it. In the Netherlands, is 30 millibars. In some countries, is 50 millibars. If you take the 50 millibar, you will notice that your bottle will freeze up faster. Even if you just let it run for an hour, the bottle will freeze up. So the lower, if you can find a 19, because some countries also have 29 or lower, or the adjustable one, it will save your bottle from freezing up. Because sometimes on an effect, they want just the flame, and then at some point they want to fire it, but they already want it light, because you can make a whole path of fire that people can come into, for instance, the entrance of a festival. So it looks really nice. But if they are burning, then your bottles are frozen, and the first time you shoot them, there's only a 1-2 meter flame, because the pressure has dropped. So the lower you can get this, the better it is. Well, then I talked about the piping. It's very cheap piping. In this case, 3/4 of an inch, because it fits in straight into the neck of the fire extinguisher. Then the copper tubing. I have an example here. This is 8 millimeter copper tubing. I bend it into a ring, and then I punch holes in the inside of the ring, because propane is heavier than air. If you put it on the underside, the propane will drop. So you put it on the inside of the ring, so the propane will get at least out like this, and then get on fire, and then you have the pilot flame. And I also did some on the top, so that it keeps on feeding the pilot flame. You can just bend this. I bought a pipe bending device where the new ones I made. I had to practice a little. If you want really nice bends, you can fill them with fine sand. You have this fine sand. You put it in and then bend it. Then you can easily shake the sand out. And then you can make nice bends. This I just bent on the stone here on Bourne Hack. This is a radiator clip. This is also there to keep it in place. The gas hose. Firefighters are very, very interested in hearing that you know that you should replace these hoses every 5 years. So the short piece I used here, I used the one with the date on it. So it says 2021. So I can use this piece of a hose for the next 5 years on festivals. So if they ask me about it, I can show them. And if you say that you save this piece of hose with the date on it, they know that they know your that you know your stuff. And that helps in getting approved, because some festivals say, sorry, it's too dangerous, we don't want it. Most firefighters, if you show them and you let them know that propane is heavier than air, that you took care of the gas storage, and that you made them high up, then they are most of the time already very happy with you, and they will give you approval to use them at festivals. So use proper hoses and use them in a garbage bag. So if you are done with the festival, roll up the hose and put it in a garbage bag, because UV will make these hoses deteriorate. They become cracks in it. So the nicer it looks when the fireman checks it, the better it is, of course. Then you have the T-splits. Well, that's the parts over here. I already showed you. It's very easy. You need some connectors for the T-splits to put them in. I used the left hand and a right hand connector. I couldn't find it here. I forgot it. But it's the it's this connector, because this in the Netherlands is left hand thread, because it's gas. You can recognize that, because on the nut there will be an indentation around it. So if you see a nut with small marks on it, it's not damaged. It means it's left hand thread. So you need to. It's not righty tighty, but it's lefty tighty. The T-split is a normal 1.5 normal half inch thread, so therefore you need a converter to go from normal thread to left hand thread. Then there are some converter rings which are used in here, so you go in with the hose pillar and then go to 3/4 of an inch. So that's all stuff that's only costing like 1 or 2 euros. Then you have the clamp I talked about to hold the piece of copper to the big tube. Steel wool kitchen sponges, 69 cents in the supermarket. Something like, what is it? 6 kroner or something. Some iron wire, that's very nice to hold the copper steel wool into place as the pilot flame. You need the Teflon tape to seal. You can see it here. All the white stuff is Teflon tape. But if you have to build this, you have like 1, 2, 3. You have lots of connections. You have to roll the Teflon tape or wire. Wire is easier. This is Teflon wire. You can nicely fit it in the threads. Makes it already work easier. But I found this is a hydraulic sealant. This is capable of withstanding 320 bars. So you can also put this on and it's really quick. It needs some time to dry, so you can't use it immediately. But if you're making it and using it the next day, you can put this in the threads. You can just screw the whole thing together. So it's all mounted, leave it to harden, and then you're done. And you don't have to check. It's very good. It fills the threads. And then I would suggest buying a bottle of, it's basically dishwashing liquid in a spray can. It's a leak detector. So when you're done, you put pressure on it. You could also use air if you're really careful. Sorry. You could use compressed air to test it. So you pressurize the whole system. If the valve is closed, only some air should go out there, but not through all the connections. But you can use this liquid gas leak detection. You spray it on, and if there's a gas leak, it will form bubbles. So then stop the gas, take apart that connection, and try again. And then there's some hose clamps. You need some hose clamps to keep this in place, to keep this in place, and one on the regulator. So you need four hose clamps. So all in all, you can build this for around, I think, 100 euros. So that's 700 kroner. Some best practices. Store gas cans in a container or bucket of water. On the EMF camp, I used a 600 liter garbage container, the blue ones, the very big ones, normally used for paper collection. I put four gas bottles in them, 600 liters of water. In the end of the night, it was 1 cubic meter of ice with four bottles frozen into them. So the bottles will freeze up. The best thing is to really submerge them in water. The regulator can take that, it's no problem. So take the whole bottle. We took four, we took a pellet, a wooden pellet, put it on top, pressed them down so the bottles were completely submerged in water. And even then, it took a night of playing, but even then, the bottles were frozen up. We burned 600 kilos of propane in that weekend. So in 3 days, we burned 600 kilos of propane. It was a lot, and it was really awesome. This is how we do it at Bornhek. They are behind the info desk. We took cement tubs, but you see they are not completely covered. So they are freezing up faster. A better idea would be to take the gray containers and put them in completely and press them down. That would have been a better solution, but we were short of containers. So we fix it like this. So the bottles are there, open air as you can see. So if there is something, a leak or whatever, the gas will just blow away. So don't make a box around it or try to seal them or whatever. Leave them there. And everybody sees it's the flames, so they won't touch it. This is what happens after 45 minutes. This is the regulator. This is my high pressure regulator, 0 to 4 bars. As you can see, it's almost fully open. So it was at 4 bars. And after 45 minutes, the water in the buckets, these buckets, dropped to 5.5 degrees. So my friends dropped their beer in it. It was a very good beer cooler. But the regulator froze up. And when this is starting to happen, you will see the pressure drops. So then you will see the flames go down. If you submerge the whole bottle, including the regulator, you will prevent the water from the regulator from freezing up. So you keep longer high pressure. This was the bottom of the gas bottle. When we were done, it was covered in 2 centimeters of ice. So we took it out. Beer was ice cold, and we had like a cap of ice underneath the bottle. When we put it on the floor, it broke off, and it was 2 centimeters thick. And that was just probably 1 hour of playing. Some improvements I made during camp, which I was really happy with. The first night I took a fireplace lighter, the long lighter, and put it on a long stick with a wire. It worked for the first night. The second night, the button already broke. So we were trying to get it alight at 3 meters high, stay away from the flame, and we tried to light it. It didn't work really well. So I thought of automating it. I brought glow plugs with me, the diesel heater glow plugs. They are like 4 centimeter sticks of silicon nitride with two wires, basically wire wrapped around them because you can't solder on that stuff. And basically it's just short. It's a 1 ohm resistor and it turns into 1300 degree orange glow. So you will see if I light them that it glows orange, and then I'll just open the gas. It will flow next to the glow plug, and then it will ignite. So I don't have to go up. We don't have to be with the stick and the lighter. We just press a button. It's the fourth channel on my DMX controller. So it will. The outer sides are on glow plugs, and the inner one is an ignition for a central heating system in house. So if you have a gas heating in house, there's a small box that makes 11 kilovolts to electrodes. And it sparks, and you can hear it. When I light the button, you hear zzzz. And then when you flow the gas, it goes on. So sometimes it can take a while with the glow plugs because the left glow plug is a bit slow, I saw. So it took some tries. And what you can then do is just fire the thing. So then the glow plug gets a lot of propane, and it goes around. It gets into a combustible mixture, and then it turns on anyway. If you can, use a DMX safety channel. So most DMX controllers, you can say, if this channel is between 25 and 128, for instance, then you are only allowed to open up the other channel, and then you will fire. If you make it like that in your Arduino application, if you do it in Arduino or Raspberry Pi, then you have to open two channels. So when somebody pulls all the buttons all the way down, then they are not between that certain safety range, and then nothing will happen. So the safety slider needs to be at a certain position, and you can decide how much it is. You can also say between 57 and 60. So it's very specific. So if someone starts playing with it, it won't fire. So if you can do that, it's safer. And especially when you do shows with bands and stuff, they want to see this. They want to see if you have a safety channel. You can tune the length of the pipes. Yesterday I tried to play some songs by just doot, 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 doot. But if you make different lengths of pipe, you can tune them and you can make your own organ with them. So if you make four of them and you make a 10 centimeter pipe, 15, 20 and 30, then you have like different tones from low bass to really very high ones. So that's really nice. And use the biggest gas bottle. That doesn't have to, I don't mean that you need a lot of gas. Of course, it takes you longer to switch the bottle, but the bigger bottle has a bigger surface. So the evaporation goes faster. So your refilling of the storage buffer, the fire extinguisher, that goes faster. If you can evaporate more gas, then you can do, you can continue to shoot. And now you have to sometimes wait for it to fill. So bigger bottle, shorter hose length, high pressure regulator, that is all are all factors that make how fast you can reload your bottle and the size of the bottle. As you can see, the middle one, it's way faster than the other ones because it's only 2 kilos. So it's a third of the capacity and the flame shoots up just as high. So I might be looking for small bottles in the future. They're a little rare, but at least I have 6 at home. So the first 6 I can build. Then, well, we talked already about storing them in a bucket of water. The last thing is always unplug them when servicing. So when you are there, your friend is not able to push the button or because that's not funny. It needs to be safe, so always unplug it. You never know if you make your own Arduino, I don't know, you make a counter wrong or whatever, and you're there and the thing fires. You don't want to be near the fire when it fires. It's very hot. You don't want to get burned. Rule zero, don't be on fire. So now I will switch to a video I made. This is during camp. And here you see a prototype. And as I said, use something metal to mount it. It was on the floor. We didn't want to climb up every time. So I used a cart, a trolley. which we put on the side so we have something metal to attach it to. So we ratchet strapped it to the metal trolley. And then we just tested this. This is the small bottle. This is the 2 kilo fire extinguisher. But we put it on 4 bars. So it went something like this. So here you see the pilot flame. It's still burning. I have made some videos, some different videos to show you. These are the 3 of them. The middle one is the small bottle. But look at the size in flames. You don't really see a very big difference. So this one goes up. This one shoots up, maybe a little lower. Could also be that the pressure was low, because in the next video we'll see it shoot up at least the same height. We mounted them on pallets, so we put pallets on the container. And we put a wooden stick on it, and then we ratchet strapped it. These are made at 240 frames per second, so we can see. And now you can see that the middle one is not lower than the other one, so the 2-liter bottle works fine as well. And now I think the next movie will show you that the pilot flame, when you shoot, you will see some distance between the pilot flame and where the gas ignites. So when it shoots, you see a space where it isn't burning. And that's because it's there, it's pure propane at that point. And this is the only time you are allowed to film vertically. So the vertical video syndrome, when you make flamethrowers, is not an issue. Because you want to have the full flame on it and not be like, ah, shit, I missed the top of the flame. So yeah. This is the end of my presentation. If there's any questions, I would love to hear them. You can always contact me, HobbyBob at Bitler. I'm the chairman of Bitler Hackerspace. You can find me on Twitter. And I saw a question in the back.
Thank you. I'll be right down.
Do you ever have issues with the backfire? So when you we're talking about the mix of the gas, and if it's too high or too low, then nothing happens. But when you turn this thing on and off, you must have the proper mix inside the barrel from time to time, so you'll have fire going inside.
Hello? Yeah, that's a very good question. Inside the bottle, the mixture is pure propane. There's a valve in between that has a very small hole. And the mixture is still pure propane, so it doesn't go back because the pressure is upwards. It's the pressure difference between outside the bottle and inside is at least 2 to 3 bars. So the pressure is upwards, so the flame won't go in because there's no combustible mixture there at that moment. So in the whole hose from the gas bottle to the container, it's all pure propane, and only when it gets out, it gets to the point that it can combust. So there's no chance of the flame shooting backwards, and there is always the valve in between. And if you look inside the valve, it seriously has only a diameter of a very thin hole. So a lot of that, the airspeed through the valve is really high. So there's so as long as you have pure propane, people say, hey, why don't you put a compressor on it? And then you can compress it, and then you can go up to 16 bars, and then you have propane in there and air, and then it gets dangerous, because then you're making a combustible mixture inside the bottle, and then you can't guarantee that the flame won't go back, because you have a very highly explosive mixture in the bottle. So stay away from that. That's a good question.
Yes, other questions?
Have you thought about doing a supply line of ice cubes to the bar? I think we could have a good slogan, cooled by fire flamethrowers.
That would be a good idea for next year. Put the beer in there and then have a gas line running from the bar to the flamethrowers. And then we can make ice. that you're allowed to put your beer in there tonight, and you can see for yourself that we can really cool it. And in fact, everyone is welcome tonight at around 10-ish, 10 o'clock. You will hear the flames go off. So I invite you all to get there. And if you like, I can show you backstage. And you can feel the water. We put the digital temp meter in it. So you can see really the temperature go down as the flames are used more and more.
Have you tried different gas mixtures instead of just propane, butane mix?
Yes,
or something?
I have also tried pure butane, and I noticed that it's great for indoor use because you get flames like this high, so the caloric value is around the same. But for some reason, the boiling point of butane is around 0 degrees. So if the bottle gets cold, the pressure drops immediately. So you end up in like half an hour with 0.5 meter flames, so you can fire as much as you like. So that is not a good mixture. I am planning on using, but that's a whole different story, but I'm planning on using an ethanol-based system because the gas is getting, the prices go really up for the gas. So I'm looking now to build an ethanol-based system, which is using like alcohol, but it's liquid, and then you run into a whole lot of different risks because it's liquid. If it doesn't ignite, you shoot ethanol in the air. The system I have now in mind and designed only shoots like 15 milliliters of ethanol at 10 bars. So if you shoot it out, it makes it very fine particles. So if you shoot it up, probably goes 8 to 10 meters up. So then there's less chance of it getting down. But there is some risk involved, and I'm still working out those details. But maybe in the future I bring another device, and then you can shoot faster, higher, and more, and it's cheaper to use. It's using ethanol, but I'm experimenting with stuff, and I'm also trying to build the world's first RGB flamethrower. So with three colors you can mix. So I will dissolve salts in ethanol, and then shoot the flame. So then you can have R, G, and B, and you can have a flame that first turns red, and then turns green, and then turns blue. And I hope to be the first one to make this. But probably saying this will make other people make it faster, but that's my idea. So yes, I have experimented. Does that answer your question?
I see that you are using a straight tube as an exit. Have you also tried other shapes, other nozzles or fan shapes at the top to make other shape flames?
Yeah, we have tried to go from the tube straight to wider. In some cases it helps, in some cases not. We are still investigating, and we also on the right flamethrower, if you stand in front of the info desk, we put a nozzle that makes it smaller. So we go from 3/4 inch to 1/2 inch, and then you will hear it really go whoosh, like some sort of jet engine. And if you go even smaller, it starts to whistle. On EMF, we also tried the ship's horn, which is really nice. You have a ship's horn and the flames come out, not really exploding really far, but you go whoop. But people didn't like it at night because we kept them awake from their sleep. But yes, we have experimented. And one of the other plans I have is make a bigger vessel, so a bigger bottle with a 3-inch valve. And then you want to go from the 3-inch valve to something like 5 or 6-inch pipe, and then have the ring in there, the fire ring, so you don't see the pilot flame. And you have a larger expansion of the gas, so you get a bigger column, so hopefully a more intense, higher flame. But you can experiment with that, and it's always the tip here is to go from small to big is better than to try and go narrower to see if you shoot higher, because that's, yeah, then you cannot pass the gas fast enough, and then you will burn off a lot of gas which is unburned. So going bad from small to wide will make the expansion easier and will make the ignition easier. But sometimes you end up with fireballs instead of a column of fire. But yeah, some people want that, and then you can make like a fireball shoot in the air. So yes, experimenting is really important here and helps you in defining which shape you like. Yeah.
Yes, any last questions?
If there are no more questions, I'm here all camp. Again, thanks to Bornek for having me on stage here. If you want to ask questions or tomorrow you think of something, just drop by. At night, I'm in front of the info container. I'm 10 meters ahead with a table and a laptop. You can have a go tonight if you want to play or want to ask some more questions. And as I said, I can show you backstage how it's done and how it all operates. So thank you so much.
Thank you.